Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service, the only opportunity offered to the broader community to be informed on the issues and current affairs from a First Nations perspective. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
I'd like to acknowledge the traditional owners on whose land we are broadcasting from. I would like to pay respects to the Yagara and the Turrbal peoples. I also would like to pay respects to our elders and our elders of more recent arrivals. You are tuning in to Let's Talk. Today on the show, you will hear interviews that I did over the weekend when I had the privilege of being in Adelaide on Kaurna country to attend the 20th anniversary of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance that was created over 20 years ago in Alice Springs. Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal people saw the importance of starting a national network to fight against the removal of uranium, to fight against the dumping of used uranium, and to bring more awareness to the use of nuclear weapons that were tested on Aboriginal communities in the 1950s and 60s. And in today's show, you will hear stories of the Muckety Mob who were in a big battle against the new proposed dumping site. You'll also hear stories of the Maralinga bombing and some of the effects that it has left Aboriginal people around that area. You'll also hear the importance of ANFR and why it is needed.
Take a look at the sky, there's nothing but dark clouds all around. Take a look in my eyes, my heart, my soul, it can be found. This sacred ground you walk has stories of its own. This sacred ground is sacred ground, it is my home, where my family's blood's been shed. The rest is still unknown. It's not just the government that's doing it all wrong. It's down here on the ground. It's been like that all along. Just a matter of time, baby, we'll all find all that glitters doesn't shine. It's just a matter of time, baby, we'll all find all that glitters doesn't shine. Every mile's just like uphill climbing. Every day's another day. And every night I hear spirits crying. And they just don't go away. Everybody, take a look at the sky. There's nothing but dark clouds all around. Take a look in my eyes, my heart, my soul, it can be found. And this sacred ground you walk has stories of its own. This sacred ground is sacred ground, it is my home, where my family's blood's been shed. The rest is still unknown. It's not just the government that's doing it all wrong. It's down here on the ground. It's been like that all along. It's just a matter of time, baby, we'll all find all that glitters doesn't shine. It's just a matter of time, baby, we'll all find all that glitters doesn't shine. Every mile's just like uphill climbing, and every day's another day. And every night I hear spirits crying, the dark clouds all around. Take a look in my eyes, my heart, my soul, it can be found. This sacred ground you walk has stories of its own. This sacred ground, this sacred ground, it is my home.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
My name's Kat Beaton. I just got elected back as a committee member for ANFA, which is great. Really happy to be that. I work with Greenie Group Conservation SA, doing some community work a few days a week. And I work with a group called the No Dump Alliance, which formed last year to really kind of take on head-on together some of the waste dump threats that we've got knocking on SA's door right now.
Mm-hmm. How long have you been involved in the movement against uranium?
Moving against uranium, I was about 18 years old when somebody told me about this guy called Uncle Kev. I was sitting way up north of New South Wales and they said, oh, there's this fella, Uncle Kev, and he's sitting down on country and he's fighting uranium. I didn't even know what uranium was. And we got in our little van and headed down, me and a mate, to South Australia, and kind of a few weeks later we were out at Lake Eyre at the last of the Lake Eyre camps, where, you know, years before activists had gone with Uncle Kevin and with others and set up in protest about all the water that was being taken every day from the Great Artesian Basin for Roxby that runs day and night, digging up. So I got involved then and it just blew my mind and my heart totally away that there was this great injustice happening to Uncle Kevin, to his family, to all First Nations people and to the country too. So that's how I first got involved and I kind of haven't gone anywhere else.
And fast forward to 2017, it's pretty much built into a massive movement, you know, mob all over the country, converging every year for the ANFA conference. I guess, what does it mean for yourself as a committee member to get all these mob and non-Indigenous peoples involved in one room? It's a big task first, obviously.
Yeah, it is, but you know what I think too? We've done this so many times. Like, I think sometimes, you know, it is a big task, but we know how to do this. We know how to come together. We know how to organise, and we do it pretty well. For me, I feel so honoured to be in the room and still be able to have a seat at the table in protecting, you know, beautiful country. I think what ANFA means is it gives you, or for me, it gives this kind of energy to keep going, because it is... gets a bit tough sometimes and you get a bit wound down, as you'd know, you know, and after you come together and it's kind of like this jetpack, this energy. And this year, to hear Uncle Kevin talk about this next level,
yes.
I love it. So, you know, I'm ready. SA, I reckon's ready. Let's go.
Somebody mentioned yesterday they could remember when a lot of the old fellas that are here and that was there in Alice Springs when it kicked off, they mentioned that now the young fellas are starting to step up. I guess, what does that not just mean for ANFA, but a lot of these different movements around the country?
I think it means ANFA is doing its job. ANFA's being successful. Mm-hmm. I think it means that our movement, while we don't want to be fighting this long term, we want to be able to see an end, we know that it's not, and a lot of old people, we, you know, really worry what's going to happen in the future and don't want the kids fighting. But I think we've also grown a culture where, you know, together we're fighting, we support each other, you know, we can do it. But for all those uranium mines, those waste dumps, those land rights issues, the fact that we've got the voices of the future coming up, mm-hmm. coming out, it's just, it's really the core of it, really. We really, you know, what's the point if we don't have that next generation coming through? And this meeting's been just deadly for that.
Yeah.
We just elected our new chair, and one of the chairs is Kylie Sambo. So that for us is just like fantastic.
What's the message you would have for people that are in the cities that say, oh yeah, this does not necessarily affect me?
I think in the cities we've got a responsibility. We're not on that front line, but we've got access to a lot of materials, a lot of resources, and often the offices of the decision makers. And the decision makers, we need to influence those decision makers. So best thing we can do is think about those people that are on the front line, that are living and breathing it every day, that can't turn off, and when they do go home, it's still there. And then do your best. And that's, I think, the quickest, the best way that we can get a result for those people on the front line, for people in the city. Like, try and take away that distance in between and stand up for people, you know. And it's a real shame what's happening in Australia. We've got some real human rights issues tied up in the uranium debate, and yeah, city people, we got cars, we got buildings, we got photocopiers, let's use them.
And that was Kat Beaton. Stay tuned, because coming up now we have the interview with Ani Sue.
My name's Sue Coleman Hazeldine. I'm a Googa the woman from Ceduna area on the far west coast of South Australia.
Wait, you're here? We're here at the 2017 ANFRA conference, Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. It's the 20th anniversary. You've come to quite a few of these to tell, you know, the story, to tell UMOB's story back in Ceduna. Could you tell us, for our listeners, what that story is?
Yeah, I actually started coming to ANFRA to find out why I was sick with a cancerous thyroid. And what I found out, man, oh man, you know, all the damages that have been done to us people from the Maralinga and Emu Fields bombing, it was really, it's scary stuff. And it's still happening today that there's deformities in babies, there's cancer deaths everywhere, all different types of cancers. Ceduna there now, they call it the cancer capital of Australia. So, you know, we talk about how when they set the bombs off at Maralinga, they didn't even listen to their own meteorologist people that the wind was going to change. They set them off anyway, and the wind changed, of course, and covered most of Australia. Between Maralinga, Emu Fields and Montebello Islands, Australia's covered with nuclear fallout, radiation fallout.
And this is sort of one of Australia's secrets. One of the many secrets that Australia continued to hide under the rug is the fallout of Maralinga and the effects, like you were saying.
It was a big secret, because a couple of years ago I went to Vienna in Austria, and I was absolutely amazed at the amount of countries that had never even heard of Maralinga, because the Australian government and the United Kingdom government has kept the bomb tests such a big secret, and they most certainly didn't want it to get out to the rest of the world. But I've been doing that, and we're getting it out to the rest of Australia too, because there was a lot of people here that didn't even know that the fallout had landed amongst them. You know, the silent, invisible killer was landing amongst all our people, all of Australia, and the government doesn't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to take responsibility for it. But we're getting the word out there to, you know, to let the people know that this did happen to them.
And you'll continue to tell that story.
Yeah, I'll continue to tell the story. And one great thing about these ANFRA meetings is that a lot of young ones are stepping up. So the story's not going to just die with us oldies. It's going to continue, because we talk to the kids. We tell them about it. Because I'm saying that you must never forget the past. You've got to keep the past alive to protect the future. Because you've got to remember that this is not our future. That future belongs to the next generation.
And how does it feel to have, you know, so many young mob involved in ANFRA coming through as well?
It feels really good to know that the ANFRA Maralinga story and will go on, will live on in the young kids that are coming through now, that don't want mining of any sort, do not want a nuclear future. They want a clean, free world for their kids. It feels really good to know that they are standing up and they're there.
Before you got involved with ANFRA and you're saying, yeah, like, you wanted to know why you were having these issues, did you know much about nuclear and the effect that it has, you know, all over our country?
I knew nothing about radiation fallout, radiation poisoning. I knew nothing. And a lot of our people didn't know anything. What the government did to us, they did in secrecy. They lied just so they could... They didn't even have to do that, because they already knew what happened at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They knew. So there was really no need for them to start testing nuclear weapons in our country. They knew.
Just in wrapping up, Aunt, could you tell us, is there any message that you would like to inform our listeners?
Yeah, please be aware of the fact that the uranium fallout came over everybody's land and over everybody, not just Aboriginal people only, as some people seem to think. It fell on everybody, and everybody is dying from cancers. So if you can get out there and you can say no to a nuclear future, keep the future clean for the next generation.
Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? All I'm asking, Lord, is this what we deserve? We've been here since time began. Our ancestors' footprints are buried in the sand. We are but caretakers of this ancient land. But you still don't understand. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Your laws are so unjustified. Our basic human rights have been denied. You come up with excuses like your hands are tied. But you go on committing genocide. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve? Just keep on trying. And I pour eyes, they just keep on crying. And sadly, our people, they just keep on dying. While you just keep on lying. Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Is this what we deserve? Can you tell me now? Is this what we deserve?
My name is Curtis Taylor, and my mob, I come from Western Australia in the East Pilbara region, and mob is Mardo.
Thank you. We're here at 20th anniversary of the ANFA conference. ANFA is Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. Could you tell us your involvement with ANFA? Obviously, that's due to uranium mining on your country. So could you tell us a bit about your involvement with ANFA?
Well, I got involved through ANFA maybe 4 or 5 years ago now, on and off. And, it was just a... You know, just a group of people that were interested in talking about uranium and nuclear issues across the state and nationally and across the world, you know, networking with different groups. And, I come down from the desert from a community called Bunungur, which is east, 6 hours east of Newman. Just in between our two communities, Punwa and Bunungur, there's a uranium exploration camp, and it's been there for nearly about 15, 20 years now. And a lot of my old people were at the forefront fighting against those exploration companies since they were exploring at the start, yeah.
The old fellas have been fighting for like 15 years, and you thought it was important for yourself to get involved?
Yeah, I think definitely, like, because with these exploration, especially miners, that they do a lot of work at the start. Once they hear feedback from the elders at the time that we had, they were really strong and really influential across the whole Pilbara, and brought a lot of mob together, a lot of different language groups, and they band together and said that they were opposed against uranium as that mineral, but all other minerals that are still heavily mined today in the Pilbara region, like iron ore, gold, that they felt different about and still feel different about, because of back then they fought hard against it but couldn't stop it. And there was with uranium, I guess for them, they could see that it was still early stages for them, for the mining companies, for exploration of uranium minerals, and you know, even if they turn it into a mine, that they could stop it at the start. So,
why is it important for yourself and your mob to attend ANFA?
I think it's important to listen to other stories and other stories from other countries that people, you know, you might have similarities with in dealing with companies, or even just the landscape and how the water or the land flows, you know. So I think for that, for people to come together and talk about that, it's very important and very special. That and even just networking across, because, you know, some of the old people, you know, before us or before me, you know, knew each other in some capacity, whether that be through traveling in the early days or through ceremony, or, you know, even just meeting up through different meetings. And for them to see each other after a long period of time, you know, and in this kind of environment where they're together fighting for the same cause and looking at, wanting to look after country and for the people and the animals that affected or will be affected by uranium mining or exploration.
How important is it for yourself and other young fellows to get involved in this fight?
I think it's really important because, you know, the work that the old people laid down before in the past needs to be carried on, and it's up to the young people to pick it up and run with it. Otherwise, that it would be worth nothing, you know. Like today, if they win, if the miners win, or if the government, or that whole from grassroots, the whole psyche will change, you know, in the minds of the young people, and maybe they might feel less empowered. But if we continue the fight and run with it, then I think it'll, yeah, strengthen a lot of young people and the future generations in leading, not in just for against uranium mining, but a lot of different issues, and give them confidence in talking about their rights as humans to live in their country, and the rights to have these services, whether they'd be in town or in rural areas or really remote areas. Yeah, just starting in really good confidence with it, yeah.
When mobs say no against uranium mining, people look at mobs saying, oh, this is a way to get employment and to get jobs. This is what people say, but they don't really see the, you know, I guess what mob are actually fighting for, the protection of countries, sacred sites.
Yeah, well, I can talk personally about my family, and so I have family on both sides of the fence, for and against uranium mining. I have had family, close family members that have worked for these companies in surveying the land before exploration or clearing, and also when they undergone, you know, the second stage would be drilling and sampling drill cores and clearing land and talking, having consultation meetings with their own mob about getting that project up and going, because, you know, most of these projects are remote, and these people in remote areas don't have a lot of opportunities, if they want to still live on the land, to have proper employment and, you know, feed their families. But in saying that, a lot of the people that live out on country still want to look after the land, and how they work towards that, you know, can be in a lot of different ways, whether they'd be working with national parks or park rangers. So there's a lot of, I guess, yeah, a lot of, other avenues that people can take living in remote areas than working in the private sector.
And it must make you a bit sad too, like you were saying, you know, you got family on both sides. You know, like, sorry?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah, for me, I really don't talk much about that issue between close family that work for the mining company. We just, you know, I can see that they're working towards, you know, they're feeding their families and looking after their family and gaining employment, but also gaining respect from some of the elders, but maybe in not some of the ways that those elders agree with. But, you know, at the end of the day, you're not going to make everyone happy. So I guess, yeah, it's just people, yeah, living their lives and, you know, trying to make the most of their situation that they're living in. But yeah, in saying that, a lot of those people too still have that yearning for country and still want to protect that area. And I think having worked on those projects and you know, still out on the land, I guess they feel more connected towards their country, that some sites they do protect that they say no or try hide. So yeah, I think for them to be out on country working, even if it's for the mining companies or on those projects, that they feel, yeah, closer to their heritage, I guess. Yeah.
And you're listening to Let's Talk via 98.9 FM and also the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS. The program today, I was very fortunate enough to be in South Australia, in Adelaide on Kaurna Country, to be a part of the 20th anniversary of the Australian Nuclear Free Alliance, ANFA. They were created. They started in 1997 all the way in Alice Springs in the Northern Territory, and they saw the importance of starting a national network to fight against the removal of uranium and also the dumping of uranium, but then also to raise awareness against communities that have been, that have had their lands used to test nuclear bombs. AMFA has been doing a very, very solid job. And that interview that you just heard was Curtis Taylor, Deadly Deadly Brother from Western Australia, talking about their fight against uranium. Stay tuned here on Let's Talk, because coming up, we have a chat with a deadly sister girl, Kylie Sambone. She's from Tenor Creek, and herself and her family were involved in the fight for Makati.
My name is Kylie Sambo. My mob is Warmu and Runman Bomo, and we're from Tenor Creek.
We're at the 20th anniversary of ANFA here in Adelaide. And ANFA stands for Australian Nuclear Free Alliance. You know, why do you consider yourself a part of this organisation?
Why I consider myself part of this organisation is because we all have one dream, and that's to keep our country safe and secured for our future families.
And obviously that's against uranium?
Yeah, against the uranium, mining, any threat that comes for our country, we will stand and we will defend it.
And it's pretty well documented. Yourself and your family were pretty much in a tussle with these uranium mob for quite some time. That's the Makati mob. Could you tell us a bit about when you first got involved in the case against Makati?
Yeah, when I first got involved with the case of Makati, I made my rap music because at the time I was longing for my uncle, and he passed away, and he was the one that actually was pushing me to keep going and keep talking against it. And when I made my music is really when I came out of my comfort zone and really fight and really speak up for my family back home, because they were unable to travel to places because of their health conditions.
And was that also a way to get other younger fellas around your age and younger involved in the discussion why we should keep out uranium?
Yeah, I mostly focused on the young people and getting them involved and what they can do to show that they have a strong connection to their country. And it was hard, but they listened because I used the new technique, which was by music and by rap, to really reach to them. And they saw that creativity that I created, and they wanted to create something too for themselves. And the way they did it, they got into acting and drama, creating a story on how Makati would turn out if nuclear waste dump would come there and would if they were exposed. And we built a whole little showcase around it where we introduced music, acting and dancing, a modern culture of how we feel that how our country would turn out if it would have went on. But and also our old people got up at that showcase and gave us their perspective on how the show went.
Mm-hmm. The session that you was a part of here at ANFA was the winds.
Yeah.
And so for a lot of our mob, it's always far in between when we get our wins.
Yeah.
And when you fellas had your win, that was a big win, not just for you mob, but for mob around the country as well.
Yeah, that win that we had really touched everyone, because it wasn't only just us fighting there at the front base. We also had other friends and I'd like to say family around this whole country who stood up in different places, who went to parliament houses in their own areas and made a noise, you know, and for us to be recognised there, they done the work too, and yeah.
Also, what was the feeling after? You know, like we saw a video in there of when Nat and Patty turned the car around and come back, you know, to Tenor Creek and said, oh, we won. You know, the courts and the land council have backed away. You know, what was that feeling like?
Yeah, it was at the time, it was shocking for me because I couldn't believe that we won so quick. Like, we was just only 2 weeks into the court case, and I thought that it would be longer because the struggle was longer, and I thought the court case would be too. But the government and the NLC, they got scared and they backed off because they knew that we were going to win at the end, and they were not going to take that loss because that would have been something that was really historical. But we had, they backed off because they thought that was the easy way for them. And yeah, but the feeling for me at the time, it was shocking. I didn't know what to expect when my family and my mom and everyone else was screaming and saying that they won. I was still there, you know, sitting down, still thinking, processing it through. But as the night, as the day went by and the night came, you know, we had all of our friends came back and we all celebrated, and it was good. We went out.
Before you got to the court case, it was a long battle. Lots of mob were involved. Did lots of mob get to live to see that?
Unfortunately not. Only one lady who actually was the one that was steering the whole campaign, the one that was driving it forward, was my grandmother, and she held on. She was very old, and she held on to that fight till the very end, till we won, and then she left us. But my uncle, halfway through the fight, he passed away, and that would be a sad part for me, because now that I'm here fighting, I'm fighting for him because he was the one that pushed me to it, and he's not here with me, and he wasn't there the day to celebrate the victory that we had. And that's why I guess I was it was hard for me to process it at the time, because I was still thinking about him and thinking that, you know, he would have been happy to be here and to hear this news with us, you know. But even though, you know, now that I know, even though that he's gone, but he still is here and living with us.
There's lots of mobs, you know, around the country that are fighting for our people with different issues, whether it's, you know, against, you know, coal mining in North Queensland and New South Wales, whether it's stolen generation, whether it's deaths in custody. You know, is there any messages that you have for them to say, keep fighting and keep on?
I'd say keep fighting. We do get wins because, you know, there's all those little fights that people think that are small, they all lead back to one thing that they want, and that's our land. So all these little fights, that's still our fights, and we're gonna have to help out as much as we can everywhere. And for those people who are thriving and who are pushing forward, to just keep going, because it's all worth it at the end.
My name's Regina McKenzie, and at the moment I'm here representing my father's people, the Ajumana people. On my mother's side, I'm Luru Yalawa Sadnaranda.
You mentioned that you're here representing family, and here being the 20th anniversary conference here in Adelaide. Why is, you know, gatherings and conferences like this important?
Why aren't gatherings like this here, especially for a person like me who lives out in a very remote area? And there's just me and my sisters that live out there. Coming to conferences like this here and seeing people with similar issues, like seeing the people talking about things like Makuri, Kongojore, and Makuna, and all the other different places where the waste dump's been, and also hearing people from West Australia talking about uranium mining and everything, and how now they want to stop it and stuff. Now, seeing people who has the same drive and the same motive that we have, it's very uplifting.
And what is the fight back home for you, Mom?
The fight back home is the nuclear waste dump, the federal one. It's a so-called low waste and intermediate waste dump that they want to put in on our country.
What does that mean for like listeners who, you know, haven't really heard much about, you know, the dumping of uranium? What does that mean?
Dumping of uranium, it's like the area that we've been working in, which is where the proposed site is a site of, we've worked on a storyline that we've got registered. We've actually got it legislated in the state of South Australia that any storylines within South Australia is protected the same way as a archaeological site and stuff, any other heritage site. So to have a waste dump come in right on top of this waste, on top of this storyline, is, in a way, it's an insult. And also it's an insult to put it in on country, because we are the country. The country is us, who we are. And it's a country that kept us through all the hard times, through colonisation, so it was a country that kept us safe and kept us here. And to see the non-Aboriginal people, their culture is to take.
They take everything, they keep taking, they've taken so much from the Aboriginal people. You know, they've stolen land, they've stolen children, they've stolen our lives, and they still trying to steal our storylines.
How long has this been a fight for you?
Well, it's been a fight for me for 2 years against the waste dump. It's something that that is very personal, because by naming of the Barnduda site and of Wallabadina, that's an impact on us spiritually. What the white people don't realise is that in our belief system, by naming a site, they've actually already impacted it. You don't have to go in and actually disturb anything. By what they've done, they disturb it spiritually. Mm-hmm. And it's a really big impact, and it's really affecting us.
You just briefly mentioned what they want the dump sites to be. They're on song lines on sacred sites. You know, like, what does that mean for, you know, local mob say no to putting these dump sites on sacred sites?
Putting it on sacred sites, that's, no matter where you go, all of Australia is significant. They ask us, what is a significant site? And can you show us which is the most significant site to us? To all Aboriginal people in our countries, in our nations, they're also trying to put it on the Seven Sisters storyline, which is this storyline links all Aboriginal women. All nations are linked through this storyline, yet they're only talking to a small amount of Aboriginal people, but it does. This actually impacts all of us. Mm-hmm. So it's something that it's very disturbing, because it's culture genocide.
How do you feel when you hear other mob stories from around the country at this conference, especially with the ones that haven't necessarily have had the wins, you know, like some of the Mokini mob?
Looking and listening to them, it gives you an uplift when you hear them talk about the win and stuff. But when you also see, you can understand when they talk about it, it still pains them. Mm-hmm. And you can still see the hurt and the pain in there, and it's the same hurt that we've got. Mm-hmm. And it's something like I said, I'd love to see when we beat this waste dump, I believe that all Aboriginal people should go converging on New South Wales, on Sydney, onto liquor sites. We should close that nuclear reactor down, because that's the head of the snake.
Mm.
That's where we need to go. We need to say, because if we just keep stopping it in and around country, it's going to keep coming back on us. It's going to keep coming back and keep biting and keep poisoning people. It's doing a spiritual poisoning. And it's really impacting Aboriginal people, and we need to go, and we need to say to them over there, mm-hmm. at liquor sites, don't bring your poison here. You leave it here or you close this place down.
Yes. You mentioned liquor sites in Sydney. For a lot of our mob and the listeners that don't know, could you give us a bit of background of what that is?
Liquor sites is it's a reactor, a nuclear reactor, and it's on the outer suburbs of Sydney. They say that they do medicines. They do, they make things like, you know, how we have our LCD screens and all that. Mm-hmm. They say they make all that there. They say that they're looking for the cure of cancer. It's through ANSTO, you know. And at the moment, they're saying to us, we must take this waste dump, because they're looking for the cure of cancer. We're stopping from people from getting treated. We're stopping people from being able to get X-rays and stuff. Mm. They keep saying that we're stopping people from doing this, yet they fail to see the sacrifices our people, all the nations, have already made.
And what they're stopping mob.
Yes. When you look at our people, we're only 3% of the Australian population, and that's because of colonisation. That's because of the atrocities, the genocide that happened to our people. There are many nations that no longer exist because of colonisation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they don't shoot us no more, but they bring poison into our lands. Every waste dump they go to is near an Aboriginal community, except Kimba. Mm-hmm. But, you know, but the thing is, it's still Aboriginal land. There are Aboriginal people, mm-hmm. who was locked away and locked out of that place because of farming and stuff, because of colonisation, and it's still going to impact those people.
For all of our listeners, how can they follow, you know, your mob's fight? Is there websites or
Facebook pages or...
Yeah, we've got... it's Stop the Nuclear Waste in the Flinders Rangers on Facebook, and also Flag, the Flinders Rangers Action Group. We got, they can go in there and they can see what's going on. They can see the stuff that we've done up, like We Say No videos and all the stuff that we've done. We've actually had more media coverage outside of Australia than we had in Australia, and that's very sad. But the thing is, it's actually another good thing as well. But the thing that I'd like to say to our your listeners as well is, we need to start looking into the indigenous United Nations
Declaration.
If we get this made into a domestic law, it will make it harder for them to oppress us. It will make it harder for them to keep on doing culture genocide onto us, because we would have the world watching. And we must push to have this declaration done in a domestic law. Australia signed off on it, but they will not make it into their domestic law. This covers things like waste dumps. It also covers stuff like our belief system, and also the stealing of children. It covers that. So all the stuff, if you were to look at the 48 articles of this United Nations Declaration, you would see that it would help us. It would give us back our sovereignty and back our voice about the lands that we are. And the other thing I'd love to see is the Aboriginal people, we do up our own United Nations of Nations. We have so many nations here in Australia. Our voices are not heard in on the United Nations, and I believe we should start up things like that.
Thanks for that, Jan. Aunt, just before we go, is there anything else that you'd like to add to say to the listeners?
I'd just like to say, I'd like to get all Aboriginal people to say with us, we say no. Any nuclear waste dump in Australia.
And you're listening to Let's Talk. That was the deadly Aunty Regina McKenzie letting us know about the fight that she has back home on her country, not just her family, her community, her mob, and the locals that also live in that area. They're fighting against a proposed dump site within the Flinders Ranges area, just outside of Adelaide. Also, before that there, you heard from Kylie Sambo, Deadly Sister Girl from Tenor Creek. My name is Bo Spearham. I want to say a big thank you for tuning in to Let's Talk. Just remember, you can catch it from Monday to Friday from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. here on Let's Talk, or you can listen to us via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS. Just to take us out of the show, I have a very, very deadly song for all the sisters that talked on the program today, and all the aunties, but then also for all the deadly sisters out there listening. This is Rochelle Watson with her song, Too Deadly, My Sister.
I've seen you grow up, a lovely Murray girl, but now you're a woman with not a care in the world, and I love you, my sister, my deadly sister girl. Oh, oh, show us what you made. You're a diamond amongst pearls. You're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. You're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister. Stand proud. Well, you may find it tough in the many years to come, but just hold your head high and remember where you come from. Just remember, 'cause you'll always have family. Don't be frightened, never be. No, no, 'cause your precious family, they will always hold you dear. You're too deadly, sister girl. 'Cause you're my kind of sister. You're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister. You're too deadly, sister girl. And I love.
really sister girl. Cause you're my kind of sister, and you're the best one in this world. And you're too deadly, my sister, and you're too deadly, sister girl. And I love you, my sister, stand proud.
Come tomorrow, I won't let it slide or slip through my fingers. I turn the tide, see what answers the wind will blow. Come tomorrow, I won't settle down. Too many times I heard the run around. I walked the line that I will never toe. Come tomorrow. And I won't be so blue if I don't look back. I'll forget about you if I don't look back. And who'll ever know just what happened come tomorrow? Come tomorrow, I will cast away all of the things that are making me. I'll get behind the wheel and go. And come tomorrow, it's gonna be a change. Out with the old, it's time to rearrange all of my ducks in a row. Come tomorrow. And I won't be so blue if I don't look back. I'll forget about you if I don't look back. You'll never know just what happened. Come tomorrow, I'll put on my brave new face, yeah. About you if I don't look back, and who'll ever